of God. And our contention so far throughout this entire series has been that to seek God's face really means to know God for who He is. So we have looked at a few things about who God is. We've looked at Him being personal, that He is a personal God. And I think too often when we talk about God, we don't think about how personal He really is. We treat Him oftentimes as if He is impersonal, as if He's not a real person. And we need to really change that around. We really need to be thinking about Him in that way. Second way that we looked at God is the fact that God is present everywhere with us, at all times, in all places, not just in the big sense of, yes, God is everywhere, but the Bible talks about it in very specific terms. And if you are a believer in Christ, that means you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and that means you have God with you at all times. In every case, and with every attribute, the way we've been looking at this has been looking to try and see the theological side of things, the character of who God is, but then we want to look at the practical side of things, of these characteristics. What does it mean that God is everywhere with us, and what does that mean for us? What does it mean that God is personal, and what does that mean for us? How does it affect our lives? So this morning we're going to do the same thing, but this morning we're going to look at God's omnipotence, which is a big fancy word to say God is all-powerful, okay? And what difference does that make to our lives? Now, when I say that God is all-powerful, most of us get that pretty easily. If you grew up in the church from the day you were in the little Sunday school class, you heard that God can do anything. God is powerful and He can do anything, okay? And we'll get into some of His power and the nature of His power in a minute. One of the names that God revealed to Abraham about Himself was El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. And God revealed this name to Abram, when his name was still Abram, when He was promising to make him a covenant and said, we are going to give your descendants to you for just, your descendants are just going to be huge, the number of descendants that you will have. And at the time, Abraham was 99 years old. You fast forward one chapter in the book of Genesis, and God announces to Abraham and to Sarah that she is the one who's going to become pregnant to fulfill this covenant. And she is 90 years old. And if you've heard the story, you know exactly what Sarah does when she's 90 years old and she hears she's going to become pregnant. She laughs out loud, okay? Laughs out loud. And God's response to her laughter is this: is anything too hard for the Lord? And that really is the premise of the message today, and a question that we need to wrestle with in our hearts and in our minds. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So, what do we mean when we talk about God being omnipotent or all-powerful? Well, humanity and the universe itself only has so much power given to it. Okay, there's actually even a law called the law of thermodynamics, which means that all energy is eventually wearing itself down. And for some of you, you all know what that feels like when you're wearing yourself down and you get tired, okay? God's power is a part of His character. It is a part of who He is. It is a part of His essence. So that if there was something that God did not have power about or power over or power to control or do something with, God would cease to be God. Which is not true of us. We don't have that same kind of a characteristic. Are there limits to God's power? I know, you're all going, he's faking us out again with one of them questions, but I'm not going to answer, because he's trying to trick us. We often tell kids all the time, God can do anything, but did you realize that there are actually things in the Bible that the Bible tells us that God cannot do? Okay? There are certain things that God cannot do. His power is limited by the rest of His character. Okay? So He cannot do something that is inconsistent with Himself. That is what controls the limitations of who God is. Because a lot of people nowadays want to make it, we control the limitations of who God is. We say, set the boundaries for who God is and what He can and cannot do. What kind of a God is that? That's us, just magnifying some things we really like. And we're not setting the boundaries. God's character sets His own limits. And these limitations actually magnify His power and His character. So let me show you what I'm talking about, okay? Some of the things that God can't do. Some of these verses are going to come up on the screen. God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a human that he should lie. You know what? That only makes God greater, doesn't it? Would you want to serve a God that could lie to you? This is interactive, folks. Would you want to serve a God that could lie to you? Of course not. Why would you want to serve a God like that, okay? That only makes him greater because you know that everything you get from him is going to be truth. God cannot approve of sin. Habakkuk 1:13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Again, it's a limitation of God, but it is a strength, not a weakness. Next one, God's character cannot change. Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. Isn't that a good one? Okay? He's the same all the time. We know that verse. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is a great and awesome thing. You don't have to worry about whether he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He is the same at all times. That is a strength. And God cannot disown himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful and he cannot disown himself. So he can't even like change his back on his own character here. So God can also not be tempted by evil. And I think I forgot to put this verse up there. So I'll just read this one to you. God can't be tempted by evil, and because he can't be tempted by evil, that means he cannot sin. Okay? James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So, because he can't be tempted by it, there's no way for him to sin, and that is a good thing, because we wouldn't want a God who's running around doing the things, telling us that he doesn't want us to be doing. So, let's talk about some ways that we see God's power at work. First way would be in creation itself. Now, not literally the moment of creation when the universe came into being because we weren't there to witness it, but we do have God's fingerprints in creation. So grab your Bibles, go to Psalm 19, it's page 545 in your pew Bible. Psalm 19, we're going to read verses 1 down through part of verse 4. Again, page 545. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voices go out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. God's fingerprints are left behind. When we look at the heavens, when we look at all that is in creation, we can see that it points back to God. And we'll get into that in just a minute here. Flip to Romans chapter 1. If you're using a pew Bible, it's page 1127. Romans chapter 1, we're going to read verse 20. Again, page 1127 in the Pew Bible. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The Bible tells us just right up front. You know what? When you go outside and you look and see how magnificent creation is, just even the stuff outside, much less the heavens and all those things, when you look at all of those things are screaming, somebody created this. That there is a creator behind all of this stuff. And it talks about his eternal power and all of those different qualities of who God is. And I love that verse because it is really just pointing us that way, and it's very clear what he's trying to talk about. So, for a couple moments, I'm going to kind of blow your mind with a few numbers. If you're not numbers people, don't worry. We're not going to stay in this section for real long. But let me blow your mind with a couple of things first. If the acceleration of the expansion of the universe, called the cosmological constant, okay, so in other words, when the universe first began, according to science, if the acceleration rate at which it expanded outward is off by one part in 10 to the 120th, Now that is 1 with 120 zeros after it. If it's off by 1 in that many parts, the universe would be completely life prohibiting. Okay? That's a lot of zeros, folks. That's a lot of numbers. And that's a very tiny, tiny fraction of what it needs to be off. I'll give you one more numbers-based one to really blow your mind here. Roger Penrose calculated the odds for the state of the beginning of our universe as science understands it. So in other words, the fact that the universe even exists at all, he figures out what the chance of that is. And the chance is 1 out of 10 to the 10th times 123. I don't know how many zeros that is, folks, but that's a really, really, really big number, which translates into a really, really small number. And here's what William Lane Craig is an apologist, somebody who defends Christianity, and this is what he said about this. That means that the chance of the universe existing in the state it would need to be in so that life could exist, happening purely by chance, is a number so inconceivable that to call it astronomical would be a wild understatement. Okay, you guys talk about that's astronomically wrong or astronomically, you know, whatever. You know what you're saying, right? That it's a really big number and there's just no way that that would happen. He's saying that to call this number astronomical would be the most ridiculous understatement you could possibly make, because it is 1 with so many zeros after it, we're not even going to try and calculate it, okay? Now, moving on from the numbers, let me give you a couple other examples that are probably a little easier to wrap your head around, just so you understand about God's creation here. Light moves at 186,000 miles per second. Let's say that the average airplane moves at 500 miles an hour. For light to reach us from the sun, it takes 8.3 minutes. For the plane to reach the sun from here, going 500 miles an hour, it would take 21 years. Okay? That's how big the distance is between us and the sun. The next nearest star is 4.3 billion light years away. So it takes the light 4.3 light years away. So it takes the light 4.3 years for it to reach Earth. If we took the same plane, moving at 500 miles an hour, it would take us 51 billion years nonstop. Long time to be in a plane, folks. That is how big the universe is, and that's just the next nearest star, okay? That's just our galaxy. We have not even left the Milky Way yet. There are billions of galaxies in the universe. One more thing to show you the beauty of creation. Planet Earth is in a unique and privileged location in the universe. People think that there's got to be life out there on other planets and all this kind of stuff, because look at how big the universe is, and there's got to be somebody somewhere in the universe, because there just has to be. If I were to go through all the problems with that, scientifically, we'd be here for an awfully long time for me to explain all that stuff to you. There's things like not the right elements to create a planet, much less create a planet just like ours. Orbits not being in the correct alignment, and so on and so forth, things of that nature. That's just what could happen in our type of galaxy. There are two other types of galaxies, and both of them are more life-prohibiting than our galaxy. So our galaxy is a privileged place. This is why we are talking right now, because we are alive. God has set it that way. In our solar system, we are set up nicely for the other planets to protect us. The other planets take hits from asteroids and comets and other such things that protect us in ways that other places don't get. Then you go after the factor of the sun, its type, its size, even the radiation that it emits. The moon plays a part in why we are a privileged planet, and even the systems here on Earth that regulate the temperature of the Earth, create our atmosphere, things of that nature. It protects us from things from space as well. You have no idea how much I wish I could take the time to dig into all of this stuff with you. If you really want to read some of this stuff, okay, Lee Strobel's The Case for the Creator. There's a chapter in there about cosmology, about the universe. You want to read it, and I will tell you it will blow your mind, because you will get to the place where you're just like, okay, wow, there is no way that this Earth was was just created by chance and put here, and that's how we arrived. It's not possible. We were created for a purpose. God did that for a purpose, okay? He even created us, though, with a curiosity to explore the skies. And this is what the Bible tells us. The heavens declare the glory of God. So it shows us just how incredible God really is, because he gave us that curiosity to start looking at that. And as we look at that and we find out all this information about it, it only points more and more back to him, showing off his power and how great he really is. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, page 719 in the Pew Bible. Pardon me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, again page 719. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in the basket, or weighed the mountains in the scale and his hills in a balance?" It says, the breadth of his hand. It's talking about the heavens and the breadth of his hand. That is side to side, folks. Okay? So we're talking about the heavens. We're talking about the universe. The universe is sitting in the palm of his hand. Okay? Now that could just be metaphorical, meaning that he kind of controls everything. Or let's just face it, he's a huge God. Okay? He is completely in charge over all of that stuff. And that is the thing. He created it all. But not only did he create it all, he also sustains it. Turn back to Colossians chapter 1, page 1182. Sorry for all the turning, but I want you to see these verses. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, page 1182. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So not only did he create all things, everything is being sustained, everything is held together because of who God is. Okay? So that's just the first way we can see God's power on display. God's power through creation. Second way that we can see God's power on display is in everyday life and in his presence with us. Okay? So to talk about this point, I'm going to invite Holly Bishop to come and just give a testimony about how God's power has been working in her life and helping her to grow. So come on up, Holly.
Hi. Okay, so growing up, I was raised in a Catholic church. I was taught to believe in God and pray to him. Looking back, I am so thankful that I was exposed to the Word at such a young age. But at times, I catch myself feeling regret from the disconnect I allowed myself to have with the Holy Spirit throughout those years. In high school, I went to church here and there, and after graduating, I stopped going altogether. It wasn't until after David and I had kids that I regularly thought about God. After talking with David, we decided we wanted to bring our kids up knowing God and his Word. By God's power and grace, he guided us here, and I'm so thankful that he did. Over the past 3 years, I have learned so much about God's Word than I ever had growing up. By being a part of a church family, I have come to understand more about God's power and the strength that he gives us. As I seek God more throughout each day, I find myself having a stronger connection with him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, If from there you seek the Lord our God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Knowledge truly is power, and when you seek to find God's power, you will not be disappointed. when you can seek out the Lord to find that He is with you in everything throughout the day, it is such an amazing feeling. It is a feeling of getting a rush of goosebumps, or you start to get tears in your eyes because you can feel God's presence. It gives me comfort and a whole new outlook on the way I see things in life. If things happen to me that at the time I don't understand or get annoyed with, I know I just need patience and let God work in it out. Whatever the outcome, I know it is God paving the way. I am not just talking about the big things that happen in life. I am also talking about the everyday little things that you might not think God has a hand in. Last fall, Eli was diagnosed with asthma and now needs an inhaler daily. After struggling with his condition and what would be the best option, God directed my path towards reassurance and peace of mind one weekend when my parents went on vacation. On Sunday, when I went to pick up Eli's inhaler after work, the pharmacy was closed. Not a big deal. I was going back to 26 Mile on Thursday, so I figured something else out to hold him over until then. Well, Monday morning came, and something happened at the restaurant, and I had to go back at the end of the day to count the register down. In the past, I would get frustrated because now I had an unscheduled trip that would ruin my plans for the day. This time, it was different. Since I didn't want to make the trip to 26 Mile just for Eli's inhaler, God gave me another excuse, and He helped me see that Eli's inhaler is better than the other medicine I was giving him. Through God's power, I was again reassured that his inhaler is the best medicine for him. Now, I don't want you to think that all of my prayers have instant rewards, because they don't. I have plenty of prayers that have taken a year to 3 years to get an answer. I have not experienced anything longer than 3 years because I have just started actively seeking the Lord. By God's strength, my personal goal is to talk to everyone in my family and make sure that they will be in heaven with me. Sorry. When the time comes. Now, with family, we as humans make it awkward, but sure, I'm not sure why we do this. So I have been praying for strength and the opportunity to talk to each family member. Only He knows when they are open to listen and what I have to say. Sorry, to listen to what I have to say. Okay. After actively seeking the Lord's guidance, I have been able to talk to a few family members only because of the Lord's timing. Through those amazing talks about God's goodness, and it only makes my faith in Him greater and my connection with Him stronger. The feeling of accomplishment, as we all know, feels good. But when you accomplish something God has set out for you to do is beyond words. There are three things in life I truly feel my heart overflow with love in it. Sorry, I'm very emotional, as you can see. There are three things in life I truly feel my heart overflow with love, and they are my husband, my children, and my God. So I encourage you all today to actively seek out God and build a relationship with Him. I wish I could explain to you the feelings I felt when I found that connection. It truly is amazing to show and trust that God is always with you. Sorry.
You did wonderful. So, we see God's power in how He acts in our lives in general. The ultimate way, as we move on, that we see God's power on display is in salvation. How God can take a sinner, somebody who the Bible says does not seek after God, does not care about God in the slightest, and change them, forgive them, and give them the power of God inside, living inside of their lives, is just amazing. That power is hard to fully understand. It is the change of life that you see from somebody who's a criminal that goes to a lover of God. Change of an alcoholic who winds up turning into a missionary. Change of an atheistic lesbian professor to a woman right with God in a beautiful marriage and making waves in the homosexual community talking about what God has done in her life. And that is a real person, by the way, not just a general illustration. Her name is Rosario Champagne Butterfield, and if you have not read or heard anything by her, you need to get something on her because she will. She's got a lot of good stuff. Only God can change the heart and the life of a person, and only Christ can pay the penalty for our sins, and that is why we have a mighty God, because we could not do any of that ourselves. Now, that's just three ways in which we see God's power at work. We could mention his power over life circumstances, or his power in nature, or his power over disease, all with both biblical illustrations and real life, current life illustrations. However, I want to move on to some of the benefits of understanding and trusting in God's power. First of all, what do I mean by trusting in this power? We firmly are convinced that God has the ability to accomplish anything. It is the base of where we operate from. And I do not say that saying, okay, I want you to say that you believe that he can do anything, as that, like, that's the base of where you operate from, because there's a little bit of a difference. So we're going to watch a short little video that was intended for Father's Day, guys.
My dad is stronger than a big train.
My dad's a great hunter.
My dad saved monster at night.
My dad's really strong.
My dad's faster than a speeding bullet.
My dad's smarter than anyone. My dad can jump over tall buildings.
My dad's a great fisherman.
Yeah, I can't catch anything.
Yes.
My dad knows God.
So does mine.
You guys remember the days when you felt Dad could do anything? You believed Dad could do anything, right? Could Dad do everything that you thought he could do? Probably not, okay? Sorry to let burst your bubble, guys. I know that you were wanting to keep that under wraps, that you actually could do anything. But the reality is our Heavenly Father can do anything, and he can do far more. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Ephesians, and one of the reasons is a verse like this. It says, "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think or imagine," depending on your version. Okay? Immeasurably more than what we ask. This, by the way, should change the way we pray, because too often we're timid. We're like, "God, I just hope that you'll do this for me. Oh, amen." It's like, no, bust into the throne room and go, "God, this is what I really want to see happen. Okay, I want to see this person healed. I want to see this happen." Because God can do immeasurably more than what we ask. And then he says, and even what you can come up with in your head, I can do more. I can still go further than that. Our God is a powerful and amazing God. When we trust God's amazing power, we're going to find things like relief from fear. Sometimes people fear Satan and what he might do to us in this life. He has a lot of schemes, and Christians can sometimes live in fear of those schemes. The reality is this, and I believe I do have this verse ready. 1 John 4:4. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Okay? You guys understand that? Satan is the one who is allowed to run and kind of control this world right now. But the fact of the matter is that the one who lives in us is greater than him, by far. So just because we have the Holy Spirit in us, though, does not mean that Satan is not still going to try and attack us. So God has given us all we need to protect us from Satan's attacks. Ephesians 6, we won't go there tonight or today, but Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, he gave that to us for a reason. So that while we are battling Satan, we don't have to fear the enemy. When we trust in God's amazing power, you do not have to fear man either. I believe this one's on the screen as well. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. It says that fear of man is like a snare. How is that true? Well, it can come out in all kinds of ways. Trying to please people, peer pressure to fit in, even codependency, things of that nature. But instead of fearing man, we have an all-powerful God that will keep us safe. Now, does this mean that we can do the ridiculous, run out into traffic, dodge bullets like Matrix movie, that kind of thing? Obviously not. One of the amazing things when you read Civil War diaries of some of the guys that were in the Civil War, their trust in God is just amazing when you read what they have to say. Because they're going, we're going into battle tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust my God that whatever happens is going to be his will. And if I can advance our cause by my life or by my death, so be it. I trust my soul to God. And their trust in God is just incredible to read and to watch. Trusting in God's power means that we do not have to fear what man could possibly do to us. It is our trust in him and in what he does. So if you're wanting to experience God's power, I encourage you to pray one of these prayers as a part of your life. Make one of these prayers a part of your life, or all of these prayers. There's four of them here. These actually come from a book entitled God as He Wants You to Know Him by one of my professors, Bill Thrasher. Here's your first prayer. It says, Lord, let me experience the power of your resurrection. Okay. This was Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 3. It says, knowing the power of Christ's resurrection. In other words, I want to know this kind of a life that is dead to myself, dead to sin, and alive only to God. That's the kind of life I'm asking for, God. It's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians in chapter 1 when he said, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you. Which, by the way, that trickles down all the way to us too. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. That is knowing the resurrection power of Christ. Second prayer. Lord, show me the meaning of the words, apart from you I can do nothing. That'll change your life. That'll help you depend on God. It's a great prayer of humility because now you are understanding who it is that you really need to depend on. Third prayer. Lord, show me what it means for you to be strong in my weakness. A lot of you guys know Paul's prayer, saying, God, remove this thorn in the flesh from me. And yet God continued to reply and said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So trust in my power because it's going to be made perfect. It's going to be made complete because of what I am giving to you. And the last one, and maybe the scariest one of all. Lord, show me how I quench your spirit. In other words, show me the areas of my life in which I'm drifting off into sin, in which I am taking my own path and I am not following the Spirit. I am not walking in step with what you want me to walk in step with. These are all areas of our lives that God's power affects. And we could be here all day talking about all the areas of life that God's power actually affects. But I encourage you to actually take some time this week, today, to meditate, to think through deeply, what does it mean that God is all powerful and how does that affect my life? Think about your level and trust in God's amazing power, because here's the thing. God's power is working through you because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And too many of us are not really in touch with the Holy Spirit who's living in us. And we really need to work toward that goal of understanding that the Holy Spirit is in us and that He is wanting to direct us, He is wanting to guide us, He is wanting to help us every step of the way. So that's one of those things that we need to be praying toward and understanding better how to be in touch with the Spirit as we walk through life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your power. Thank you for how you work through so many things. Lord, we see your power in so many ways. Lord, we are grateful for how you work it out in life. Lord, we're grateful for testimonies of what you do in our lives. God, we pray that as we walk out of here today, we would be thinking through these things. We would be thinking about your power. What difference does it make to us in our lives? Where do we see you at work in our lives? It's one of those questions we should be asking ourselves regularly. How do we see you at work in our lives? What have you been teaching us lately? How have we been growing? God, I pray that you'd help us to understand and know these things and be able to share these things with other people, that this is just going to be commonplace, Lord, that this church is going to be filled with people walking in with stories about what has been going on in their lives because your power has been breaking through in all these different ways and you have been guiding and directing us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.